Thank you for having me here to speak with you.
谢谢大家给我这么一个机会在这里跟大家分享。
It is my pleasure to be here.
我今天能来到大家当中非常高兴。
Thank you, Donald, for inviting me.
也谢谢 Donald 邀请我来到大家当中。
And thank you, Isabel, for making me speak Chinese so well.
也很高兴今天能有翻译我的讲章。
Donald has told me that you've been studying in the book of Judges.
Donald 之前跟我说，说大家最近在看《士师记》这本书。
And he's asked me to talk about the story of Samson.
他就跟我说，你能不能讲讲《士师记》当中最后那个士师参孙的故事？
Samson is the last of the judges in the book of Judges.
在整本《士师记》里面，参孙是提到的最后一个士师。
And he's one of the most famous of all the judges.
而且在士师记里面讲到这么多士师里面，参孙是名气最大的。
He's known as the very strong man with the long hair.
他很出名，他家喻户晓的一个形象就是他是一个力气很大的人，而且他有一头很长的头发。
It's actually a fairly long and involved story.
其实如果你去看士师记里面讲到参孙的故事的话，他所涵盖的经文很多。
We don't have the time to talk about everything in the story.
我们今天没有时间把它涵盖的所有的章节去讲。
So I'm going to try and focus on what is most important for us to hear God's message to us from this story.
所以我今天只会挑其中最重要的经文去看看神要透过参孙的生平给我们讲述一些什么样的道理。
I'm going to first try to briefly tell the main points of the whole story.
首先我会跟大家简述一下参孙他生平这一些他故事里面的一些重要的部分。
And then look more carefully at just a few details to get God's message for us.
然后我们再会去到故事当中的一些细节性的描述里面去看神在其中要带给我们什么样的信息。
And then we'll talk about what difference it should make for our lives.
最后我会再跟大家说说从参孙的故事里面我们能够有什么样的信息是能够应用到我们生活当中的。
But first I would like to pray.
但首先我想先带大家有一个祷告。
Father, thank you for everything.
主啊，我们谢谢你，你赐予我们所有的事情事物。
Father, thank you that you've given us the Bible.
主啊，谢谢你给了我们圣经。
That you've spoken so long ago to the people so long ago.
你在那么多年前跟当时的人说了这么多的信息。
And you continue to speak to us today.
你今天也仍然在用不同的人、不同的事情向我们彰显。
Lord, I thank you that you are here by your Holy Spirit.
主啊，请你的圣灵降临到我们当中。
And I ask that you would take the truth of the Bible.
我也求你今天把圣经里面的真理。
And you would apply it in our lives by your Holy Spirit.
顺着你的圣灵应用在我们每个人心里。
And we thank you in Jesus' name.
我们这样不配的感谢，乃是奉靠主耶稣基督的名求。
Let's talk about the Samson story. The first chapter tells of the birth of Samson.
我们先来看参孙生平的故事，在第十三章就是涵盖参孙这故事的第一个章。它里面讲到就是参孙出生的情况。
Samson is announced by the angel of the Lord.
参孙的出生其实是有从神而来的天使去了他父母那里宣告这个消息的。
And his parents are given specific instructions how he is to live.
而且他的父母当时那个天使也跟他的父母说，你的小孩出生之后要有什么样的规条要去遵守，这样他接下去的生活是怎么样去做的。
He is to live as a Nazirite, as described in Numbers chapter 6.
他当时他要按的那个条例来说，他是像一个拿细尔人那样子的规条，他要去遵行。这其中所有的详细的条例在民数记第六章里面有记载。
He is not to drink alcohol or eat any unclean food.
他清酒浓酒都不可以喝，一切不洁之物也不可以吃。
He is not to cut or shave his hair.
不可以用剃头刀剃他的头。
And he is not to touch a dead body.
而且他也不能碰任何死人的尸体。
The the part about the dead body is not mentioned in the book of Judges, but is mentioned in the book of Numbers.
刚刚说到不能碰死人的尸体，那个条例在士师记这里没有记载，但是在民数记里面有记载。
And then God gives miraculous confirmation of all that He has said.
而且后来神也是有很神迹般的确据去证明他刚刚透过天使说的那些话。
And then Samson is born.
然后参孙就出生了。
The rest of the Samson story is a series of six conflicts.
接下来参孙的生平，如果去总结的话，可以用六个冲突去总结。Each
conflict first has a cause.
每一个冲突都开始有一个原因。The
cause usually involves Samson pursuing a woman.
这个原因通常都是参孙在追求一个女人。
And each conflict has a result.
然后每一个冲突也带来了一个结果。
Usually involving Samson destroying something or killing people.
然后这个结果通常不是参孙去把一些人杀了，就是他毁灭了一些东西。
Samson fights against the Philistines, who are the enemies of God's people.
参孙他当时征战的对象是Philistines，腓力士人，腓力士人当时是以色列人的敌人。
In the first conflict, the cause is Samson's desire for a woman from the town of Timnah.
第一个冲突是起因是参孙想要去追求一个亭拿的女人。
On his way to Timnah, he is attacked by a lion, and he kills the lion with his bare hands.
他在去找那个女人的路途当中，他遇到了一个狮子，然后他就徒手把那个狮子给杀死了。
And his new wife betrays his trust, and he kills 30 Philistines to pay off his debt.
这个亭拿的女人成为了他的妻子，但他这个新婚的妻子也背叛了参孙，所以结果就是参孙就是去找这个女人，把30个菲利斯人都杀了。
In the second conflict, he returned to Timnah to see his wife, only to find that she had become the wife of another man.
第二个冲突就是他又去找这个亭拿的女人想去看她，但是发现这个亭拿的女人已经变成另外一个腓力士人的妻子，所以他就去到他们当中，把这个女人的先生和其他的腓力士人杀了。So
Samson destroyed their crops and later killed many Philistines from the town of Timnah.
他除了把亭拿当地的一些腓力士人杀了之后，他还毁灭了当地很多的农作物。In
the third conflict, Samson is hiding in Judah, one of the tribes of God's people.
第三次冲突的时候，参孙他躲在了犹太人当中，犹太人是当时神所拣选的支派之一。The
Philistines invade Judah looking to capture Samson.
腓力士人当时就攻打到犹大那地区，因为他们想要抓住参孙。And
the men of Judah betray Samson and hand him over to the Philistines.
犹太当地的人背叛了参孙，就把参孙绑起来，并且把他送到腓力士人那里。But
Samson broke free from the ropes that bound him and killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey.
但是参孙他就把那个绳索给扯断，然后他就用驴腮骨去击杀了1,000个腓力士人。In
the fourth conflict, Samson goes to visit a prostitute in the city of Gath.
第四个冲突是参孙去到了加萨那个地方去找一个妓女。The
people of the city lock the gates, hoping to trap Samson.
当时加萨的人知道他来了加萨的时候，他们就把城门给锁起来，因为他们想把参孙困住，把他抓起来。And
they make plans to capture him first thing in the morning.
他们打算在第二天清早的时候就去把参孙给活捉。But
Samson gets up in the middle of the night.
但是参孙半夜就醒过来了。Rips
the entire gates out of the city wall.
他把加萨的城门从城墙上面整个撕了下来。And
carries them about 40 miles to the city of Hebron.
然后他就扛着那个城门走了40里的路，去到了希伯伦，当时犹大的首都。Remember,
Samson was a very strong man.
就像我刚刚说的，参孙是一个力气很大的人。In
the fifth conflict, Samson once again pursues a Philistine woman.
在第五次冲突的时候，参孙又一次去找了一个腓力士的女人。This
woman's name is Delilah.
这个女人的名字叫大里拉。
And the Philistines convince her to betray Samson.
然后菲利士人就找到这个大力拉, 就说服他, 让他去背叛参孙,
that she would learn the secret of his strength and how he could be captured.
他们让大力拉去问参孙, 就是去想办法, 去找到参孙力量的来源是什么, 怎么样去毁灭这个参孙的神力。
Three times he lies to her and tells her a false story.
每一次大力拉去问参孙，就说为什么你有这么大的力量的时候，参孙都对他撒谎。参孙一共对大力拉撒谎了三次。
Each time Delilah tries to bind him.
每一次他说他哦，就是撒谎说哦，为什么我的力量这么大的时候，那个大力拉问完之后都会把他给绑起来。But
he breaks free each time.
但是每一次参孙都可以挣脱那个绳索，恢复自由身。
But the fourth time, he tells the truth.
但是第四次的时候，参孙就跟大力拉说了真实的情况。
That his strength is connected to his dedication to the Lord.
他跟大力拉说了，他的力量的来源是来自于他把自己奉献给神。
Which is symbolized by his hair not being shaved.
他这个奉献就透过他头发不被剪，从来从出生到现在从来没有被剪这样一个作为一个形象化的表现出来。
So she shaved his head while he was asleep and captured him.
所以大力拉最后一次就是把参孙的头发给剃掉，然后再把他绑起来，这样他们就把参孙给抓起来了。
And the Philistines blinded his eyes and put him into slavery.
当菲利士人他们把参孙抓起来之后，他们把他的眼睛挖出来，然后把他放到了奴隶当中，当奴隶用。In
the sixth conflict, the Philistines threw a celebration because they'd captured Samson.
在第六次最后一个冲突里面，菲利士人因为他们抓到了参孙，他们非常高兴，他们决定在他们拜的那个偶像的殿里面去有一个宴乐，去庆祝他们的偶像，让他们能够抓住参孙。They
brought Samson to the temple of their god to thank their god.
他们把参孙带到了他们的神殿那里，去感谢他们的神明。
And to make fun of Samson for being captured.
而且他们也在宴会的时候不断地拿参孙来进行耻笑和辱骂。
But Samson prayed to the Lord to give him strength one more time.
但是参孙他在当时也向神去呼求说，神啊，你给我最后一次机会，最后一次力量。
And he pulled down the entire temple, killing himself and all the Philistines.
神应允了他这个祷告，他把整一个神殿给摧毁，他就在推毁这个圣殿的过程当中，把所有的菲利士人给杀死了，他自己也同时因为这个建筑物的坍塌也死在里面。So
what is the point of this story?
那所以这个故事到底告诉了我们什么呢？
It seems a strange story filled with lust, betrayal, and violence.
这故事其实听起来很奇怪，因为整个故事里面充斥的是 拜偶像、暴力和violence。哦，还有欲望。
It seems more like a television show than the Bible.
其实如果你这样去看的话，你感觉你像在看一场电视剧，而不是在听一个圣经的故事。
Are we supposed to imitate Samson?
难道我们应该去学习参孙吗？
Samson obviously is gifted by God with his strength.
当然很明显的就是 你从参孙的身上，你可以看见神赋予他很神奇的力量。But
at the same time, he doesn't seem to have character or virtue.
但是同时，你从参孙的身上，你也看见他是一个没有品格、没有美德的人。He
is not wise. He is arrogant.
他没有什么智慧，他也是个很傲慢的人。He
is disobedient, and he seems downright stupid for believing Delilah.
他非常他很。 叛逆，而且如果你从他跟大力拉的那个互动当中，你会发现他感觉就是一个很蠢的人。And
yet God is empowering him, and he defeats his enemies.
但是神还是给了他力量，让他去歼灭很多敌人。How
can we make sense of this?
那我们从这个故事里面，我们应该怎么样去解读呢？
I'd like to look a little bit more closely to try to understand.
接下来我想带大家看一些细节性的部分，来帮助大家去明白这个故事当中的一些信息。The
author of the story helps us by the way he tells the story. He draws our attention to certain details to help us to see God's message through Samson's life.
作者专门是把我们带到了一些细节性的描述性里面去看到参孙他的生平当中有什么东西是很重要值得我们去看的。
But to understand, I want to step back and look at the book of Judges as a whole.
但是如果真的要进一步的去明白的话，我想先请大家退一步，从一个宏观的角度去看《士师记》整一本书。
As a part of the whole story of God's people Israel.
因为从这样一个宏观的角度，你可以看到以色列人当时的光景是什么样的。
God rescued his people from Israel and brought them to the promised land.
神当时把以色列人从拯救出来，带他们去到了应许之地。
He gave them his laws, a destiny, and a mission.
他给了他们他的诫命，给了他们一个命运，还给了他们使命。
At the beginning of the book of Judges, the mission can be summarized by three things.
在刚士师记刚开始的时候，你可以看到神给他们的使命可以分成三个部分。
First, they were to complete the conquest of the promised land.
他们第一个使命就是要去攻克他们的敌人。
God had given them this land and promised and miraculously helped them to conquer the land.
神完成了他的应许，把这个地，把这块地整个的给了他们，而且神也很奇迹的带他们打赢了很多场仗。
And they were commanded to drive out the wicked nations that lived there before them.
他们的使命就是要在这个应许之地，把之前在这里居住的其他很邪恶的其他民族的人全部赶走。
At the end of the book of Joshua, most of the promised land had been conquered.
如果你看约书亚记的话，在最后约书亚记那几章，你会看到应许之地大部分都已经被攻克下来了。
And in the book of Judges, they're commanded to finish what they had started.
在士师记的这个时代的时候，他们要做的就是去攻克剩下还没有被攻克的地方。
There were a few nations left and a few parts of the land yet to conquer.
其实整一块应许之地已经被打得差不多了，剩下的只是一些，只是不多的一些地方和不多的一些民族。
At the beginning of the book of Judges, it started well.
在士师记开始的时候，整一个历史的前进都是蛮喜人的。
But by the time of the Samson story, they had stopped.
但是等你从士师记第一章一直到第十三章，就是参孙故事开始的时候，你会发现这整个攻克的使命已经被停止了。
And they were no longer trying very hard to conquer the land.
以色列人甚至都没有再去有任何的尝试的行为，想要去攻克。
Their second mission was to be a holy nation.
他们第二个使命就是要成为圣洁的国度。
God gave them a revelation of who He was and detailed instructions how to live.
神亲自地向以色列人显现了他的圣洁，而且他也给了以色列人很详细的诫命，说你要怎么样去活出一个圣洁的生命。
So that they would be a different nation living in a special relation with a holy God.
这样以色列人他们就可以活出一个圣洁的生活，跟神有一个特别的关系。
This especially includes devotion to only one God and avoiding all idolatry.
这其中最重要的一个诫命我们要看到的就是神给他们的要求就是你只能有我一个神耶和华神，你不能拜其他的偶像。
And the third part of their mission
第三个使命
is by enjoying God's blessing and living holy lives in the promised land.
是他们在应许之地上面蒙福，在上面繁衍。
They were to make God known to the whole world. Israel was to proclaim and display God's greatness so that all the nations would worship God. And in the book of Judges, they are failing in all three parts of this mission.
但是如果你去看士师记的话，你会发现以色列人在这三个使命当中都是失败的。
Israel's failure is demonstrated by a repeated cycle that is first summarized in chapter 2 of Judges.
以色列人他们的失败可以透过士师记里面每一个故事当中他们之前有的一个恶性的循环可以体现。
And then every judge afterwards follows the same pattern. First, the people sin by worshipping idols and false gods.
第一个循环的第一步就是你看到以色列人他们会有淫乱，会去拜偶像。
Then God sends a nation to oppress them and discipline them for their idolatry.
然后神就会派遣另外一个民族去攻打他们，迫害他们，作为对他们的纪律性的惩罚。
The people cry out to God because of their oppression.
然后因为这样的迫害让以色列人很受不了，然后以色列人就会向神呼求。
God responds by sending them a leader to rescue them.
神听到他们的呼求之后，就向他们在他们当中兴起一个士师去施行拯救。
And their leader, empowered by God, gives them victory over their enemies.
靠着神的大能和圣灵的感动，这个士师就会带领以色列人去得胜。
And they enjoy rest until they fall into idolatry again.
在他们得胜之后，以色列人就可以国中太平。但是在他们太平不久之后，他们又重复的这个循环，去拜偶像，然后又有迫害等等。
The same pattern is followed by all of the stories of the major judges.
如果你看士师记里面的记载的话，每一个士师他们故事里面的记载都有这样一个循环。
And Samson is the last in this series.
参孙是所有的士师里面记载的最后一个。
So we should expect to see the same pattern in the Samson story.
所以很自然的，我们会可能会有个期望，就是说我们在参孙的故事里面都理应会看见这么一个循环。
So let's look a little closer and see if we can spot the same pattern.
所以让我们去看看细节，看看我们是不是真的能够看到一样的循环。
In verse 1 of chapter 13, it says they did evil again.
在十三章参孙出生的那个刚开始的第一句话，那个章节，他说，以色列人又行耶和华眼中看为恶的事。And
then it says that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines.
耶和华将他们交在非利士人手中40年。It
looks like the cycle is happening again, as usual.
所以这样看的话，这个循环好像是又一次的发生了。
And we should expect the same thing to happen.
所以我们可能理应也应该就说接下来发生的事情跟我们刚刚看到的循环是一样的。
And then in the very next verse, we're introduced to a man named Manoah.
但在接下来第二节的时候，就有一个叫马挪亚的角色出现了。He
is from the tribe of Dan, one of the tribes of Israel.
马挪亚是以色列但支派的人。
He is the man that will be Samson's father.
马诺亚就是参孙的父亲。In
the Hebrew language in which the book of Judges is written,
士师记它这本书是由希伯来文写的。如果你去看原文的话,
the name Manoah means rest.
马诺亚这个名字的希伯来原意是平安的意思。Did
we miss something?
我们是不是在这个循环当中好像缺了哪个环节?
It looks like the cycle jumped from oppression to rest.
因为如果这样子看的话，按照他的叙述的方式来看的话，感觉我们一下子就从迫害直接跳到了平安。What
happened to crying out, rescue, and victory?
那呼求拯救和得胜的环节去了哪里？
It does not seem that the pattern is being followed exactly like it was in all the other judges.
这样子看的话，感觉参孙这个故事的循环跟其他之前提到的士师故事的循环不一样。This
seems puzzling.
这让人感觉非常的费解。
But it might be a clue that the author is trying to tell us something.
但这其实是隐藏的一个线索，是作者是想要我们去仔细去看的。
And the rest of chapter 13 tells of the announcement and the birth of Samson.
第十三章剩下的那十几节讲到的就是，天使来到了马诺亚家里，跟他们说，参孙的出生以及参孙后来出生的一些律例等等。
And the verse ends with the verse 25, which says,
在十三章参孙出生这个章，这整章最后一节是这么说的。
The Spirit of the Lord began to stir Samson in Mahane Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol.
25节说到，在马哈尼旦，就是索拉和以实陶中间，耶和华的灵感动参孙。
Now this verse seems strange to me.
这一节25节其实对于我来说，我觉得是有点奇怪的。
And it seemed out of place at first.
因为刚开始看的话，觉得这25节其实 在承上启下去看，感觉这一节不属于这里。
But when I looked more carefully,
但是如果我再进一步仔细的去看的时候，
I think the author is trying to point us to something.
我觉得作者是专门是引领我们要去看这一节当中有很重要的信息，我们不能忽略的。
First, let's look at a map and find the places Zora and Eshtaol.
首先，我们先看一下地图上面索拉和以实陶，他们分别在哪里。
You'll notice the orange area.
你会看到那个地图上面橙色的部分。
Is the area that God had promised to the tribe of Dan.
橙色的部分是神应许给但这个支派的应许之地。
This is Samson's family and his tribe.
所以橙色的这个部分是参孙家族他们所在地。
And Zorah and Eshtaol are right on the border of their land.
索拉和以实陶他们这两个地方其实是在他们但支派的应许之地的边边。
But we were told earlier in Judges, they had not yet captured that land.
但是刚开始我们看《士师记》的时候就知道，这一部分的土地，他们以色列人并没有攻克下来。
It was all controlled by the Philistines, the enemies of God's people.
这一整一块部分虽然说已经是应许给他们了，但是当时的社会环境下面，他这一块地还是由非利士人控制的。
And we're told that they were camped at Mahane Dan.
刚刚我读的25节里面，大家看的话，你会知道马哈尼但是他们当时扎营所在的地方。
Mahane Dan means the military camp of Dan.
马哈尼旦，如果你从希伯来文去看的话，它这个马哈尼旦的意思是但支派的军营所在地。It
is a temporary dwelling of people on a military campaign.
军营的意思就是这个军队在这地方暂时扎营。The
people of Dan were camped on the border of the land they should have captured.
所以如果你放到地图上面看的话，就是他们这个军营，他们扎营的地方，其实本来是属于他们永久之地的。But
they were living as a permanent dwelling. They were living there as a permanent dwelling.
但是他们这个本来是应该扎营作为暂时的地方，他们却一直都是这么一个情况，扎营住在那里。They
never did anything to actually capture the land.
他们没有任何的军事行动去攻克这块地。
And we're told they're camped between Zorah and Eshtaol.
而且从25节里面你看到他们扎营的那个地方是索拉和以实陶之间。
The name Zorah means affliction.
索拉这个词在希伯来文里面的意思是折磨、悲伤。
And the name Eshtaol means the place where prayers are heard.
以实陶这个希伯来文的意思是
So at the time of Samson, the tribe of Dan is stuck in the cycle.
所以如果你去看这个循环的话，你会发现，但这个支派可以说是在循环，在这个循环的迫害和呼求之间卡在那里。They've
stopped between oppression and crying out to the Lord.
他们可以说是可以放在那个循环的迫害和呼求之间。They
are so defeated. They don't even cry out.
他们整个支派是一个非常溃败的状态，他们甚至连呼求都不去呼求。They've
given up hope, and they're not expecting anything better.
他们已经完全放弃了希望，而且他们已经不去想有任何东西可能是更好的、值得去追求的了。The
cycle is broken.
这整个循环都已经乱套了。Is
there any hope?
那难道就什么希望都没有了吗？
Thankfully, that is not the end of the story.
好就好在故事的结尾不是这么结的。The
very next verse says, Samson went down to Timnah.
在接下来的一节就14章的第一节说到参孙下到亭拿。Let's
look at Timnah on the map now.
然后我们现在看看亭拿在哪里。I'm
showing you a slightly different map.
我现在给大家看这个地图跟刚刚那张有一点不一样。Because
it has the red line on it.
因为上面有条红色的线。
This shows the border between the land controlled by Israel and the land controlled by Philistines.
这条红线给你看，就是一边是腓力士人他们占据的地方，另外一边是以色列人占据的地方。Everything
on the right side of the map was controlled by God's people.
这地图上面红线右边的那个部分都是以色列人占据的地方。Everything
on the left side of the map was controlled by God's enemies.
红线左边都是腓力士人，就是神的敌人占据的地方。
So when Samson goes down to Timnah, He is invading enemy territory.
And
the name Timnah probably means portion or territory or inheritance.
停拿这个词的意思是部分，领土的部分。
So even if the rest of the tribe of Dan has abandoned the mission,
尽管但支派整个支派的人已经放弃了征战，放弃了进攻。
Samson is invading enemy territory to complete the conquest.
参孙他就是以一个进攻的姿态去到了敌人的领土那里。
Why did Samson do this?
为什么参孙要这么做呢？
The first impression in the story is he's just chasing women.
如果你看这个文章的话，你第一个印象就是说，哦，他这么做是因为要去那里找一个女子。
And his parents actually rebuke him for going to the Philistines to find a wife.
他的父母其实甚至还责备他说，你怎么可以去到腓力士人那里找一个太太呢？
But remember, in verse 25 of chapter 13, it said the Lord was stirring him up.
但是如果你看13章的最后一节的时候，你会记得耶和华的灵感动他。
And in verse 4 of chapter 14, the author tells us the deeper reason why Samson went to the Philistine territory.
如果你再接着看14章的第4、5节的话，你会看到更深层的原因，就是他为什么要去到那里。
We're told that the Lord was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines.
第4节说，参孙的父母不知道这事是出于耶和华，因为耶和华在找机会攻击腓力士人。
If the tribe of Dan was too scared to start a fight,
如果整个但支派太害怕了，不敢去打仗，
God was going to start a fight.
神会自己亲自去征战。
Even though Israel had given up and failed in the mission,
尽管整个以色列已经失败得不得了，而且放弃去这么做，
God has given up and God will not fail.
神他也不会失败。
And we're told that the Philistines were ruling over Israel.
而且你看这里原文会说到腓力士人辖制以色列人。
But God would not allow this to continue.
但是神不会允许这样的事情接下来继续发生。
God is using Samson to complete the conquest and defeat all of his enemies.
神是使用参孙去进行这样的功课，去完成这第一个使命。
And God is empowering Samson time after time.
而且神也是一次又一次去给参孙力量去这么做。
In verse 6, we're told the Lord, Spirit of the Lord rushed on Samson to defeat the lion without a weapon.
第6节，耶和华的灵大大感动参孙，他虽然手无器械，却将狮子撕裂。
In verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him to defeat the Philistines in Ascalon.
第19节再一次记载，就是耶和华的灵大大感动参孙，他就下到亚什基伦，击杀了30人。
Now you might be thinking that I'm reading too much into the cyclical pattern.
你可能会觉得我说我这么看，实在是很感觉我是卡在那个循环当中的思路里面了。
Please let me suggest some more evidence for the theme of completing the conquest.
但是请允许我再给大家呈现更多的证据，让你看到这第一个使命是多么的重要。The
Old Testament stories often make a point by contrasting one person with another.
如果你去看，你去学习旧约的话，你会发现旧约里面很多时候故事的记载，经常是用一个人的行为去对比另外一个人或者整个民族的不作为。
One person is shown to be good by comparison with someone who's bad.
举个例子来说，你会把一个很好的例子跟一个很差的例子去做对比。
Or one person is shown to be bad by comparison with someone who's good.
或者说你拿一个很坏的例子去跟一个很好的例子做对比。
In the next section, Samson goes down to hide just over the border in the tribe of Judah.
接下来的故事就是讲到了 参孙去到犹大的领土，犹大那个支派的领土去躲起来。
And the tribe of Judah was promised to lead all of Israel.
犹大当时是一个支派，是神应许说这个支派以后会带领整个以色列人的支派。
And in verse 9, the Philistines invade the territory of Judah to capture Samson.
但是在第9节里面记载，就是腓力士人上去安营在犹大去抓参孙。
Did the people of Judah go out to fight the Philistines to protect Samson?
作为一个领袖型的支派，他们没有出去跟人家打仗去保护参孙吗？
Did they join with Samson in fighting God's enemies?
他们有跟参孙一起去一同攻克腓力士人吗？
No.
并没有。
Not only were they afraid of the Philistines,
他们不仅是害怕腓力士人,
but they joined the Philistines to fight against Samson.
他们甚至与敌为友去反对他们自己的同胞参孙。
They went to Samson and betrayed him.
他们背叛了参孙，把参孙带到腓力士人那里。
They tied him up and handed him over to the Philistines.
他们是自己把参孙绑起来，然后亲自的把参孙交给了腓力士人。
How tragic is it that a tribe that should be leading Israel?
这是一个什么样的画面？你本来是应该当整个民族的领袖的支派，但是你却把自己的同胞交了出去。
They're actually fighting against God's mission.
他们作为一个领袖的支派，他们却是与神的使命是相违背的。
But was God therefore defeated?
难道他们这样子做, 神就被击败了吗?
No, of course not.
当然没有。
The Philistines shouted for joy because they saw Samson bound.
腓力士人看到参孙被绑起来了, 腓力士人特别的高兴。
They thought they had won.
腓力士人以为他们赢了。But
the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson.
但是神的灵又来到了参孙这里。
And he struck them down again.
神的灵大大感动参孙，他臂上的绳就像火烧的麻一样，绑绳从手上脱落下来，而且参孙用一个未干的驴腮骨击杀一千人。
And in the very next episode,
然后接下来还有一个插曲，
Samson fights for Judah.
参孙是代表着犹大这个支派去跟腓力士人打仗。
When Samson carried the gates of Gaza to the city of Hebron,
当参孙去把加萨的那个城门从城墙上撕下来，然后扛着走了40里路去到了希伯伦犹大的首都的时候，
He put them in front of the city of Hebron.
他就把那个加萨的城门放到了希伯伦城门的前面。
And Hebron was the capital of the tribe of Judah.
希伯伦刚刚说了是犹大整个支派的首都。
In ancient warfare, the walls and the city gate were the protection of a city.
在以前打仗的时候, 城墙和城门是最主要的防御工具。
If an army captured the gates, they captured the entire city.
如果一个军队能够把城门给打通的话, 那么这整个城市基本上就可以说是被敌人拿下了。
Therefore, Samson symbolically captured the entire city.
所以说这里的记载其实也表达了, 参孙他把整个城门撕下来了，他就是把整个加萨这个城市也攻克下来了。
And he delivered it to the front door of the tribe of Judah.
他还把这个加萨的城门整一个运到了希伯伦的城门面前。
So they had ownership of the city of Gaza.
所以希伯伦犹大的支派可以说是拥有了对加萨的控制权。
But they did nothing.
但是你看原文的话，犹大人并没有做任何的事情。
They did not take ownership of a city that God had promised in their territory.
犹大当时甚至这个加萨这个城池是应许要给犹大，但是犹大在这个城池已经被攻下来的情况下，他们都没有去到加萨那里去控制这个城市。
What a tragic picture.
这是一个多么令人心凉的图片。
And now I'm going to skip to the end of the story.
接下来我会直接跳到最后的一个插曲，参孙生平的插曲。
After Samson was captured,
在参孙被抓起来的时候，
they brought him to the temple.
他们就把参孙带到了他们自己的神明的那个圣殿那里。
They praised their God, who they thought had given them the victory.
腓力士人他们就赞美他们自己的神，因为他们觉得是他们的神把参孙交在他们手中。
And they wanted to make fun of Samson.
他们想要耻，就是把参孙放在耻辱里面。
Now we're told that God is a jealous God.
但是我们都知道神是忌邪的神。
Every time in the Old Testament,
在圣经旧约里面的记载，
that someone claims a different God is better or stronger than the God of Israel,
如果有任何的民族或者任何的个人去宣告说他们的神比耶和华神更伟大，更具有神力。
God is very quick to prove them wrong.
耶和华神很快就会有事情，就会升起一些事情，让他们知道他们这样的宣告是不对的。
So when the Philistines brag over Samson and brag about their God, We can expect that God is going to demonstrate He is greater than the idol.
所以你可以想到耶和华神一定会亲自的有作为去让非利士人看见他们这样的宣告是假的。
And it is here that the cycle is finally completed.
所以就是在这个时候这整个参孙故事的循环才有结束。
Samson called out to the Lord asking for strength one more time.
参孙求告耶和华说主啊求你赐我最后一次的力量。
And Samson pulled down the entire temple, killing all the Philistines, and he himself died.
然后参孙就抱住托房的那两根柱子，把整一个用力屈伸，把整个房子倒塌，压死了首领和房内的众人。
And in his death, Samson killed more enemies than all of his life before, and he brought victory over the Philistines.
参孙死时所杀的人比活的时候杀的还多，所以他就可以说是帮以色列人杀，在攻占非利士人的这个战役上面就打赢了。And
then we're told that Samson was buried between Zorah and Eshtol.
在31节里面说到，参孙他被抬上来葬在了索拉和以实陶之间。
This raises a question.
这就引出了另外一个问题。
Has anything really changed?
跟我们刚刚看到故事刚开始发生没多久，提到索拉和以实陶的那个光景的时候，这两个画面有什么分别？有什么不一样的地方？
Many Philistines were dead, and Samson is dead.
很多非利士人死了，参孙也死了。But
has Israel completed the conquest?
但是以色列人他们攻克的那个第一个使命完成了吗？
Samson fought for God's mission, but the nation had not.
参孙去向神的去为神的第一个使命去向敌人征战，但是整个以色列民族却没有这样的征战。So
the story ends back at the beginning.
所以整个故事可以说是又回到了刚开始记载的开端。With
Israel stalled, defeated, and abandoning the mission of God.
以色列民停止不前。 放弃了神的使命，整一个回到了故事最开始的记载。And
by the end of the book of Judges,
如果你去看士师记的最后一节，
Israel is a complete failure in every way.
以色列整个民族可以说是非常失败的，在各方面来说都是失败的。Judges
is a very negative and depressing book.
整本士师记可以说是一本非常压抑、非常负面的、消极的一本书籍。
But it serves a very important purpose.
但是它其中的目的性是很强的。Let's
review the mission.
让我们再一次去看看我们刚刚提到的那三个使命。First,
did Samson complete the conquest?
首先，参孙有没有完全的把敌人完全攻克？
He did fight, and he won battles.
他的确确是征战了，而且他也真的是和敌人面对面的打仗了。But
ultimately, he did not drive the Philistines from the land.
但是他没有完全的把非利士人从应许之地上赶走。But
remember the contrast.
但是你要记得，我们刚刚说到，你看旧约圣经的时候，你要记得看对比性。If
Samson failed to complete the conquest, Israel did even worse.
如果你说参孙他并没有完全的完成这第一个使命，那么如果你去看以色列的话，以色列更糟糕。Compared
to Samson, Israel completely failed.
跟参孙作对比的话，以色列是完完全全的失败。And
the book of Judges holds up a mirror.
这整本士师记给你看到就是一个用一面镜子，把两者同时做对比。So
that Israel can see how bad they have become.
所以以色列人自己可以透过看士师记，看到他们自己是多么的糟糕。Does
this mean that the conquest will never be completed?
这是不是说这样子的话，那整个第一个使命攻克敌人就不可能被完成？No,
because God is still working.
因为神他自己还在做工。
God will fulfill His mission. He never fails.
神会完成完全他自己的使命，他从来不会落空。Even
when all Israel fails miserably, God succeeds.
尽管整个以色列民族都已经不能再糟糕了，但是神他自己还是会把这个使命完成。Even
using sinful people like Samson and Israel and us.
就算神要遇到罪人，像参孙，像以色列民，甚至像我们这样子。Next.
Was Samson holy?
第二个使命，如果我们去看的话，参孙是一个圣洁的人吗？
No, he broke every part of his vow.
并不是。你记得你刚刚记得的话，我说过参孙是一个拿细耳人，他有很多生活的条例他要去遵循，他每一个条例他都犯了。
He lacked character in so many ways.
他的生命没有品格而言。
But remember the contrast.
但是我们要记得，我们要对比的看。我们如果看以色列的话
，Israel was no better.
以色列好不到哪里去。
If God settles for using someone as bad as Samson,
如果上帝能够用参孙这样一个角色
，How much worse the rest of the nation must be?
那么你想想看，以色列他是要差到了什么样的地步？当时
，And yet God is still holy.
但是神还是圣洁的。
He is making his people holy even in their failures.
就算他自己的 子民正在一堆的失败当中，神还是会亲自的在当中亲自的分别开来，把他自己的子民和国度成为圣洁。
And finally, did Samson display God's character and greatness to the nations?
第三个使命，参孙有没有透过自己的生命、自己的品格，向万国去显现神的荣伟？
Partly, he displayed God's power.
不完全是，但是参孙他身上彰显出来的那个力量，的确是有神的荣耀在里面。
But not fully, because he lost God's power because of his unfaithfulness.
不完全是的，这么说不完全是，是因为他最后因为他自己对神的不忠，他失去了他这个力量。
But remember the contrast. Israel was even worse.
但是如果你看以色列的话，以色列比参孙糟糕多了。
But remember, God never fails.
但是再一次，请大家记住，神的他自己的使命他会完成，他不会落空。
Even through imperfect people like Samson,
尽管他要用不完美的人像参孙一样
，God demonstrates Himself to the nations.
神他自己把他自己的荣伟去显现给万国万民看。
And throughout the book of Judges.
而且他在整一本士师记当中，他的荣伟都有彰显。
It is also necessary for him to display himself.To Israel.
在整个士师记你去看的话，很重要的一点就是神他也自己需要彰显他自己的荣威给以色列他的子民去看。
Because they had forgotten their God.
因为以色列人当时已经很多人已经忘却神是一个什么样的神。
Israel might have been tempted to look down on Samson.
以色列民可能当时他们会看不起参孙。
Samson, he chased Philistine women.
因为参孙他当时追求的是非利士的女人。
Samson broke his vows.
参孙他没有遵行他作为拿细耳人应当遵行的条例。
But the entire book of Judges is a rebuke to the nation of Israel.
但是士师记整个的目的其实是要把责备带给以色列人。
See how bad you've gotten and repent.
他要给以色列人看的是，看你们以色列人，你们自己看看你们是多么的糟糕。
If God resorts to using a failure like Samson,
如果神能够用的像参孙这么失败的角色的话
，What does that say about how bad Israel is?
那么你去做一个对比的图片，你去看，那以色列人比参孙还要糟糕多少
？Samson was gifted and called by God.
参孙是一个有从神而来天赋的人，但是而且他也同时是被神呼召出来的人。
But because he lacked wisdom and character, he failed at the mission God gave him.
但是因为他没有智慧，他没有品格，他在神给他的使命上，他也失败了。
Israel was also gifted and called by God.
以色列这个民族也是有神赋予的天分，以及是神呼召出来的民族。
But they had not even done as well as Samson.
但是他们的所作所为甚至还比不上参孙。
Israel completely failed in its mission.
以色列人可以说是在他所有的使命还有他各方面都已经失败了。
Throughout the book of Judges, Israel is unfaithful and idolatrous.
在整一个士师记的记载里面，以色列整个民族是拜偶像的民族，是一个不忠的民族。
And by the end of the book, they were as bad or worse than the wicked nations they had been sent to conquer.
如果你去看士师记的最后一章的最后一节，你会发现他们当时的光景比他们身边的敌人还要糟糕，还要堕落。
And not only that, they had completely given up on God.
不仅如此，以色列人也完完全全放弃了他们自己的神。
They become like every other nation.
他们和其他国家没有任何的分别。
The story of Samson, the last judge,
参孙他们最后的一个士师的故事
has the same message as the entire book of Judges.
所要带出来的信息跟整本士师记要带出来的信息是一样的。
Israel is a failure. They cannot do it on their own.
以色列是一个很失败的民族, 他们不可以靠他们自己。
Israel needs a king.
以色列需要一个王。
Israel needs a savior.
以色列需要一个救主。
Israel should never trust themselves.
以色列永远都不能相信他们自己的力量。
Israel should never hope in themselves.
以色列人不能把希望放在自己身上。
And all of this points forward to the true king and savior.
这一切都把我们带到了信息的下一个接口, 就是真正的神, 真正的王和真正的救主。
God never fails.
神永不放弃。
Even if Israel gets as bad as the other nations,
就算以色列他们的光景已经跟其他国家一样堕落,
God is still God.
神还是神,
and God is still in control.
神还所有的主权还在神的手里。
And we know the rest of the story.
我们也知道接下来的故事是什么。
God eventually brought King David.
最后从以色列民族里面, 神兴起了大卫王。
And King David finished the conquest.
大卫王亲自的把第一个使命给完成了，攻克了整一个应许之地。
And God brought Jesus, David's greater son.
然后他再从大卫家出了耶稣。
And Jesus fully and faithfully fulfills God's holiness.
然后耶稣在任何一方面都是完完全全很忠心的把神的使命给行出来了。
And Jesus displays God to every nation.
从耶稣身上, 神的荣美也完完全全彰显给了万国万民。
Even if Israel cannot hope and trust in themselves,
就算以色列人不能把任何希望放在他们自己身上,
even if Israel cannot trust and hope in their heroes,
就算以色列不能够把任何的希望放在他们自己的伟人身上,
they can always trust in their God.
他们还是可以把希望放在他们的神身上。
Therefore, they should not put their hope in themselves or any human leader.
所以他们不应当把这个希望放在他们身上，或者他们人类的领袖身上。
But only in their God.
只能放在他们的神身上。
And the same thing applies to us.
同样的，这个道理对我们也适用。
We too have been given a mission to complete.
我们每一个人都有一个使命。
It's similar to the mission of Israel.
我们每一个人所给予的使命跟以色列人的使命也很像。
We've been commanded to make disciples of every nation.
我们被命令是要去使万民做耶稣的门徒，做神的门徒。
And yet there are some people who have never heard the name of Jesus.
在今天的世界，还有很多人是没有听过耶稣的名字的。
Will we complete the spiritual conquest?
我们会不会在灵性的征战上面去攻克？
Will we pray? Will we evangelize? Will we go?
我们会不会愿意接受这样的差遣? 我们会不会祷告? 我们会不会去跟其他人传福音?
Will we support missionaries? Will we tell our neighbors about Jesus?
我们会不会支持宣教士? 我们会不会跟我们的邻居去传扬神的话语?
We too have been called to be a holy nation.
我们同样的也是被呼召出来要成为圣洁的国度。
We're commanded to not be like the world around us, but to be changed in the image of Christ.
我们被命令说不要效法这个世界，要心意更新而变化。
Are we influenced more by Christ or by our society?
我们今天受到的影响更多的是来自神的教导，还是更多的是来自世俗的社会？
Is our mind filled with God's word or with television?
我们今天我们内心里面领受的更多的是神的话语，还是电视节目？
Are we pursuing treasure and comfort or in this world or treasure in heaven?
我们追求的是在这个世界的舒适和财物，还是我们追求的是在天上的财宝？
Are we living differently than the people around us?
我们今天的生活方式跟这个世界的方式是不是一样的？
And we've been called to display God to the people around us.
我们也有第三个使命，向万国去彰显神的荣耀。
Our lifestyle, love, and proclamation are to give honor to the name of Jesus.
我们的生活方式，我们的宣告，是要让万国能够看见神的荣耀。
The name of Jesus is not held in high esteem in our culture today.
在今天的文化，今天的社会里面，耶稣这个名字并没有被尊崇。
What can we do to change this?
我们能够做什么去改变这个现状？
When our neighbors or co-workers see our lifestyle,
当我们的邻居，当我们的同事看到我们生活的方式的时候，
do they recognize God's work in our lives?
他们会不会看见神在我们生命里面做工？
Now, I recognize all of us are different.
当然我也明白我们每一个人都是不一样的。
And there are different kinds of people today.
在我们当中大家所走的人生的道路也在不同的阶段。
Some people may be comfortable living a complacent life.
我们当中可能有人是觉得我们现在这个状况就挺好的了。
You are not being faithful to God's mission.
但是我想说的是，如果你这样想的话， 你对神的使命， 你对神的使命这个态度其实是不忠的。
You are defeated like the Israelites in the Samson story.
你这个生命的光景其实跟士师记里面讲到的以色列人那个击溃的光景是相同的。
And what is worse, you have given up trying.
更糟糕的是，你连尝试都不去尝试了。
And some people will become complacent and satisfied with your life.
有的人可能会觉得， 今天有的人可能会对现在自己的信仰生活是很自满的。
You're satisfied with the progress in your relationship with God.
你觉得你现在跟神的关系已经很好了。
And you're even tempted to look down on people who are not living up to your standards.
你可能觉得说我比身边其他人做得好多了，我还看不起身边很多的人。
To these people, I want to point out the same rebuke as the Samson story.
对于你们，我想用士师记里面对以色列人的责备给你们。
Never give up. Never stop growing.
不要放弃成长的机会。
Never stop with God's mission.
不要在神的使命上面有停留，有停止。
If we're not moving forward, we are falling backwards.
因为信仰就是逆水行舟，不进则退。
And God will put us to shame by using people like Samson instead of us.
如果你真的停止不前的话，神就会兴起像参孙那样的人，让你知道什么是耻辱。
They're worse than us in many ways, but at least they're pursuing God's mission.
他们可能在生活的各个方面都要比你糟糕，但是他们至少是在神的使命上面是有追求的。
And there may be also a different group of people.
还有可能还有另外，在我们当中还有另外一群朋友。
You're saying in your mind, I'm trying so hard, but I always fail.
你可能会心里想说，我不停的都有尝试，可是我也不断的在失败。
I'm weak and ineffective. I've failed and sinned, and I'm ashamed.
我很软弱，我一直失败，我没有什么功效，没有什么效果，我觉得非常的耻辱。
To these people, I want to encourage you from the Samson story.
对于这些朋友，我想用参孙的这个故事来激励你。
We should not be surprised or discouraged by our failures.
我们不应该因为自己的失败而沮丧。
Because we cannot fulfill God's mission in our own strength.
因为我们不可能靠着我们自己的力量去完成神的使命。
We should never hope in ourselves or trust in ourselves.
我们不应该把所有的希望和信靠都放在自己的身上。
But we should never be discouraged.
但是永远都不要气馁。
Because God has provided a Savior.
因为神已经给我们应许了一个救主。
And Jesus Christ forgives us and empowers us to continue fighting.
耶稣作为我们的救主，他也不断地给我们鼓励，让我们前行。
So for all of us,
所以给我们每一个人的信息,
we should be reminded that there is hope.
我们都要记住, 盼望是有的。
Our hope is in God who never fails.
我们的盼望是在那个永不失守的神手里。
Our hope is in Jesus, our Savior, who will never leave us or forsake us.
我们的希望是在我们的救主耶稣手里, 他永远都不会离弃我们。
And his infinite strength is great enough to empower us to complete our mission.
来自从神而来的力量是很大的, 它可以让我们一直去到完成使命的终点。
And his love and grace is great enough to cover us when we fail.
他的爱和恩典也是很厚足的, 在我们失败的时候也会保护我们。
Our hope is not in ourselves, our hope is not in our leaders, our hope is in God.
我们的希望不在我们自己身上, 不在我们的人类领袖身上, 而是在神的手里。
Let's pray together.
让我们一起祷告。
Our Father, thank you for the Samson story.
主啊, 我们为着参孙的故事感谢你。
Thank you that you have provided a king.
我们感谢因为你已经为我们预备了那个救主。
Thank you that you have provided a savior.
感谢你给我们预备了这样一个救主。
For those of us who are complacent, I pray you would rebuke and motivate us.
对于那些在我们当中心里面已经自满的，请主你来亲自的责备我们，提点我们。
For those of us who are discouraged, I pray you would encourage and empower us.
在我们当中如果有气馁的，求主你来亲自的鼓励我们，给了我们力量。
And for all of us, I pray you would teach us not to trust in ourselves.
对于我们每一个人的祷告, 求主你亲自的来指点我们, 让我们不要学, 不要信靠我们自己,
but to put all of our hope and our trust in you.
而是把我们的盼望和信靠都交托仰望在你。
And we thank you in Jesus' name.
我们这样不配的感谢, 乃是奉靠主耶稣圣名的祈求。
Amen.